2nd in the Betty Davis Community Room in Alaska State Capitol in Juneau. Members present, today are Representative Mike Clark, Representative Rob Pelham, Representative Ron Hopkins, Co-Chair Harriet Drummond, and we have Co-Chair Andy Story. We have a forum to conduct business. I'd like to recognize our Recording Secretary, Lynn Holland, and our moderator, Alex Dusset. Thank you both. And I see that Matt Prox has arrived too at 5:08. Reminder before we begin, please silence your cell phones and online mute your microphones, please. Today on the agenda, we have consideration of the Governor's appointees to the University of Alaska, a professional teaching practices commission, University of Alaska Board of Regents. Following that, we will pick up House Bill 173, School Climate and Connecting and Sponsored by Representative Carr, which we are due to get to on Wednesdays. Members have received an application and resume for each appointee, and we also have the professional teaching practices commission responsibilities and religious responsibilities in our packet. So I am going to get started. First of all, we have Evan Wilkerson of Tivoli, who has been appointed to the professional teaching practices commission. Please introduce yourself on the record and share a little bit about yourself and why you would like to serve on this commission.
Thanks, everyone. Good morning, everyone.
That's so clear. Thank you. Back on the record, do you have any questions? Representative Jordan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, Ms. Wilkerson. Thank you for putting yourself forward to serve on the professional teaching practices commission. I appreciate your commitment to students. You have taught at many Tivoli since 2012, am I reading this correctly?
Correct. I'm going to give you the
And you're still teaching there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, great. And you're in Anchorage, did you say, for your son's basketball tournament? Oh, wonderful. Even better. All right, I really appreciate that. And as a member of the professional teaching practices commission, how do you think that will contribute to the success of students in the state of Alaska?
I think one of the things to
time for me. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I have a question. With your experience over your 11 years of teaching, how do you approach culturally responsive education in your classroom?
Well, I teach in the settings that involve people in their neighborhood of life. Sometimes in that neighborhood, in the neighborhood, the rest program doesn't occur in your neighborhood. After the weekend, I teach Romans, so I'm just learning the Greek of English, and in the neighborhood,
serving as the president of the Health Care Association in governance. which is an organization that includes more than 50 high schools in Clinton County and over 35 towns and states statewide. I've also been elected to the State Advisory Board to serve as a state representative on the Anchorage Leadership School Board. I'm now currently chairman of the student body president of UAS and as an executive member of the Coalition of Student Leaders, which is a group that consists of representatives from different universities across the U.S. system and promotes the educational needs and organizing University of Alaska students.
Thank you. Thank you, Karen. I appreciate you being here today. I feel like you have testified before us a number of times. And as you, I believe you've been here in Juneau, going to school and have taken our English teach there to come speak to us. So I really appreciate that. Have you been working with the Board of Regents for any period of time, or are you brand new to the post?
I was appointed last summer, so I've been in this position for probably about a year now.
So you've been participating in all of their meetings as much as you can.
Yes,
as much as you're staying involved. I am a former ranking member of the Anchorage School District Board. I'm trying to clarify from your resume. It says September 16th through May 2018, so that's two school years. Okay. Most students who board members only serve one year, so congratulations for making it through 2 years. Who are the board members that you worked with?
I worked most closely with their current president, who was at the time of town, was Easter, and with Sarah.
And of the ones that are still on the board, did you work with them?
Some of them, yes.
All right. I don't have any more questions right now. Thank you.
Thank you. That's what you can tell me a little bit about how you work to get the student perspective to bring to the board, how you do your outreach to the different universities. I appreciate that. Mostly what I do is I look at and serve as the Coalition of Student Leaders, which has students from multiple different student organizations across the state. I like to attend their meetings as frequently as I can. To get input there. I also have friends at multiple different campuses across the state, so I'm keeping in touch with them. And just maybe get them to climb on different campuses. I'm always standing up. I've been super lucky to be able to make so many different connections. I like to say Alaska's a small town, so you know, friends everywhere. But yeah, just checking in with friends and getting more formally through the coalition.
And what is this on the graph on their behalf?
Some of the things that we've been working on right now, currently serving on the ad hoc committee on tuition, we're working to refine and clarify the Board of Regents policies surrounding tuition, and provide any recommendations or revisions. We're going to be doing that in the June 2020 meeting, so that's where our main focus is right now.
Thank you. Alright, Fox. Thank you. I'm going to finish the question. Thank you for stepping up and putting your mouth into this. This is great to see. What do you think is the hiring issue of the university system?
To be fair, I believe at the end of the day, it all comes down to students doing what's best for them, making sure that the university is crafting an educational experience that meets their need, but is also providing the best in Alaska.
But I think that's a good focus. Okay. Well, we have this a while. What do you see as the challenges that need to be overcome?
I definitely think some of my goals in this position in terms of meeting some of the challenges are trying to establish stability, confidence, and trust in the university. We're in a great deal of complexity right now, so trying to navigate through that and build that trust in the board and the university system as a whole has definitely been a challenge, but I definitely think that we're trying to rise to that.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the questions. Thank you very much for your service to the university system and to the students.
You're welcome. Thank you. Next up, we have Adam Reed of Anchor Interest Group, who has been reappointed to the Professional Teaching Practices Commission. Please introduce yourself for the record and tell us why you would like to continue to serve on the commission or if you have a comment you'd like to make.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Adam. I'm a teacher at Hush. I was a horticulture instructor at King Tech High School, formerly the King Tech Center, for my first 20 years of teaching, and I recently transitioned to the Anchor School District virtual program. But I like to tell people I grew up on the Christmas list in Ireland, is that usually gets their attention. My father was the director of security, and my mother was a teacher in the prison system. Graduated from Royal High School in Ireland. My education in basketball career, since we have a large basketball team, even though I'm not allowed today, at Creighton University in Omaha, Nebraska, who we went yesterday in overtime. So after graduating and playing 3 years, I graduated with a degree in environmental science and decided with my last year of eligibility to come to UI and finish my education and my basketball career in UI. So 10 years after graduating from Creighton, 5 months later, I took charge and headed north to Alaska, where I fell in love with Alaska, and my wife and I have lived here ever since 1997, and all three of my kids are in or were in the Baker School District courses. I have a 2020 grad and an 11th grader and a 8th grader in the district program. I have a background of service to the board, and I've served at King Tech as a department chair, part of our advanced college leadership team as a transition from a program to a fully accredited high school. Was our building leader for our capturing Pittsburgh process champions and part of our literacy team, helping my colleagues, the CTE colleagues, implement literacy strategies in their CTE curriculum. Currently, I serve on one nonprofit board related to sports and Anchorage, and I've served with two others, one local and one statewide. Experienced and working with a variety of people situated in local settings, providing my ability to work with other commissioners, but also look at each case presented to us on an impartial date and ask questions through and review each other's merits to see all participants are given due process. And serving on the PTPC, I hope to continue to serve the people of the state and the teaching profession. It's imperative that we provide our students with professional educators and outlet for Alaskans to participate in the process of protecting our students' right to the best education. As a lot of guidance, I wish to continue to serve on the Professional Teaching Practices Commission. Well, thank you for your time and consideration, and welcome any questions you may have.
Thank you so much, Mr. Reed, for your service. I see that you started as an instructor in horticulture science in 2001 at the King, when I was there, and I was still the King Career Center when you were there. But I was still on the other school board in 2001. I finished my service in 2003. And I don't know if you can see me from here on Teams. I know that camera's kind of far away, but I've got a big grin on my face because I have admired the program, the horticulture program at the King Career Center for a long time. And I have bought flowers and all of that stuff I do when I'm in town and able to be here and work with you folks with selling flowers. When did King Tech make the full transition to a fully accredited full-time high school?
I don't believe that was the 2019. I know 2018, I think, is when we made that transition. It's 18 or 19. I can get back to that exact date. It was about a 2 year process of lots of meetings and lots of thought and more meetings. That's my big education.
I see you're now in the ASD virtual program. Do you still have any interaction with King Tech?
I do a little bit. I have some students in my virtual courses from King Tech. Of course, I still have lots of colleagues and friends there that I check in with. So most of my contact is with my teachers and new or counselors there as well. I have a lot of retirees from kind of the full-timers in the last few years.
Do you have any
So you're going to hear that and go over there and check them.
I do my best, but also, you know, with any teacher I know in the program direction, you know, I want to make sure that, like, I'm not just going to support him, but also let him to get his rights and his work on the program.
One more question. Were you at King Career Center or King Tech when the Silvac Academy from the Lower Yukon entered its contractual relationship with Henry? School district and brought kids in from their school district to the international program in Pittsburgh and then to King Tech in Korea at the time.
Absolutely. We're proud of that. My program was not one that was chosen by the young boy. We're actually both in school just because they were focused on some of the smaller students. Some of our staff and talking about the agriculture program that brings private products and different things to the rural areas is really important right now. It could be a fantastic thing for Vermont. I worked closely when I was there with the Seeds of Change program in Anchorage, which I'm a huge fan of. And I got to get hooked up with that program to get some of our students involved there because I think that would be an awesome opportunity for to expand some.
I see the Strange program has got three blocks in the house. I've seen that program, and I have bought greens from them and left them in farmers markets. I love it. A terrific program. And we're having major discussions in this building all session about food security in Canada, and I hope that some of your students from the World Health Program can contribute to that. And it'd be wonderful to have you participate in a way to help elevate the teaching and keep the teachers of horticulture into the food security program statewide as they leave school and become part of the economy of our state. Thank you so much for your work.
Seeds of Change, and that is one of the specialties is the food security aspect, and that was the new direction that I wanted the program to go through. And you have an excellent person in there, and I would be more than happy to assist in any way I can.
That's right. What's his name?
Kelly Ballantyne. Schedule the opportunity to graduate art person, or some students are like to say, or people just trying to ask, and this is like, well, you know, students take virtual learning for a lot of reasons, and we have students, you know, with COVID, we have students that don't want to go back because they had to wear masks, we have students that don't want to go back because they were afraid to get COVID, and besides that, you have students who are trying to catch up on credits, students trying to get ahead of credits, students that are working full-time jobs during the day to help their family pay bills, you know, students on the other end of the spectrum who might be traveling and doing different things, playing sports outside of even the state, outside the country. So, you know, students take our classes for a lot of different reasons. And some of them are full-time, which is virtual. Other students are supplementing their homeschool, their traditional high school classes. You know, less of the other classes may fit their schedules better. Maybe I can take more AP classes or different things like that. So, really, you know, there's challenges within that. Those teachers are challenged. It's making those connections that are so important with your students and trying different things to do that through, you know, video and different communications. We haven't seen any issues yet on the teaching facility in those regards with all the different videos that we've been streaming over the past couple of years, but I can definitely see where of the events itself to some reliability.
Virtual program.
I am resources right now, in addition to a scholarship from our front. I also have an endorsement in personal education or certificate, so I'm proud of it. I'm going to go through that.
Thank you. occasionally. And most departments that are here from Indiana lost their ability to sell them. In 2020, I have served as a subject matter expert for the U.S. Census Bureau's Statistics and Tools Program, and I currently serve as a Statistics and Tools Ambassador, helping to promote the census to educators and students through appearances on national podcasts and media, and by presenting professionally with all the workshops for educators. I currently serve on the Bill of Rights Institute's National Teacher Council. On a personal note, I've been married for 20 years to my high school sweetheart, Lindsay, and we have 2 daughters, Cicely, who's 16 and a junior at Diamond, and Ella, who's 13 and an 8th grader at New York Middle School. I worked at my softball every summer and enjoyed camping throughout Alaska with my family. Let me share some thoughts about education issues, and why I'm excited for the opportunity to continue to serve on the Professional Teaching Practices Commission. My mission as an educator is to inspire all of my students to be engaged citizens. I empower my students to be politically active by teaching them about their government and its history, and by providing them with opportunities to engage with their government. I have hosted a sitting governor, members of Congress, members of the Alaska Legislature, U.S. ambassadors, and foreign consuls in my classroom. My students have taken what they learned and applied it as campaign volunteers, legislative and congressional staffers, delegates to the United Nations, and candidates for public office. My ultimate objective is to challenge my students to not just learn about their government, but to be an active part of it. I seem to be succeeding in that aim when I guessed their funeral last week by ran into 3 former students working in the Capitol. Being a government teacher, I'm often asked about my political views. With my students, I ask, I tell them, that I don't share my views as students because it would be unethical for me to do so and potentially sway their views. Similarly, I tell them that I don't care what their political views are, but I care that they form political views and that they can articulate why they believe what they believe. I teach my students about a variety of political beliefs and ideologies so they can form an educated opinion and engage in civic discourse with each other. Co-chair Sterling, co-chair Drummond, the members of your committee come from different political parties and have a variety of political beliefs. And yet you lovingly, regularly, respect one another, and engage in thoughtful discourse with the end goal of doing what is best for our great state. My goal as a teacher is to prepare my students for those conversations, whether in their homes, on social media, in their workplaces, or in front of them someday in our state capital. My goal as a teacher leader and member of the Professional Teaching Practices Commission is to put my colleagues to the highest standards as well. I've had the pleasure of serving in the commission for the past 3 years, and I currently serve as chair of the commission. During my first time on the commission, I have advocated for reminders in the ETPC newsletter to educators about appropriate ways to deal with politics in the classroom. I have also advised colleagues on numerous occasions about the proper way to deal with such subjects. In addition, I advise many students and a few parents about how current situations where they feel a teacher has crossed the line and pushed a particular political view. My goal is to be proactive and address these issues before they rise to the level of a complaint before the PTPC. And if they reach that level, they're prepared to react appropriately. As a quasi-judicial body, the PTPC is asked to adjudicate complaints against certificated educators, including teachers, counselors, principals, and even superintendents. This is a role I do not take lightly. I appreciate that the legislature started over 50 years ago to create the PTPC so that educators can hold their colleagues accountable, but also so they can be judged by a jury of their peers. When I teach about the importance of jury duty, as I actually did this morning in my first round class, I tell my students that if you're smart, you might be able to talk your way out of getting put on a jury. I've been challenged with this thought. If you're ever accused of a crime, I hope it's falsely accused, would you want your jury to be made up of all the people who are left after all the smart people talked their way out of it? In fact, if I were the subject of a complaint to the PTPC, I would want to be judged by my peers. I have a big grasp of what it means to be an educator in 2022. The PTPC is made up of 5 teachers, a principal, a superintendent, a representative for higher education, and a representative for B. This is a group of professional educators who understand the challenges of being an educator and who want public education to be sustained throughout Alaska. As a body, the PTPC works to promote professional and ethical behavior by all Alaska educators through proactive education and outreach, and by responding to complaints when a violation has occurred. track educators about all their professional responsibilities. We must ensure that all educators are informed of professional teaching code ethics and the potential consequences for violations of it. As a member of the PTPC, I will continue to work to increase our education and outreach efforts to ensure that all educators are familiar with the code of ethics and understand what it means for their professional practice, especially in these unprecedented times. As a lifelong Alaskan and a career educator with connections throughout our state, I am highly nominated for continued service on the PTPC. I am well informed of current education issues in our state, and I am well respected by educators throughout Alaska. Thank you for your story and comment. Thank you once again for the opportunity to address the committee today. And I stand ready to answer any questions you may have for me.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. So I see that Greg Fox has a question.
Thank you for your story. As the professional teaching practices commission make recommendations to the legislature, is that part of the mission? In your daily experience, more cases that come up, does that indicate something that needs further investigation from our office?
Thank you, Representative Fox. Certainly, the PTPC could make recommendations if there were something that we saw that needed to be addressed in statute. We work closely with the representatives from the Department on the commission, and we also receive writing updates from the Department. In my time on the commission, I haven't seen anything that would require changes to statute. Thank you. opportunities and families in those opportunities than we ever had before.
Thank you.
So I think you might care. So the curriculum that is designed to engage students, not just with content, but also with social emotional learning and connecting to what they're learning. And it's always been important to me to build a community of learners in my classroom to ensure that my students know each other, know me, and they value what's important to them and where they're coming from. In terms of teaching the last history, the last studies, something I've taught one time in my career, although it's also something that I need to make it in U.S. history, but I really strive to capture the diversity of our state. Also, when I teach government, talk about our state government in particular, you all know the variety of communities that you represent, the variety of access, transportation, infrastructure, culture, language, all of these things, which make this a fantastic state. And so really giving students an opportunity to share their culture, share where they're coming from, and explore their own personal history, their own personal family connections, and things like that is always important when you're studying history, last and all those things.
Thank you. And a follow-up to that, do you teach local governments?
Our state government is organized, looking at the interaction between state and local governments, with the role of tribal governments, native corporations, and entities like that, how they interact with our government. It's a question.
Thank you. And then one last question I had was, and sorry, not the commission, I'm talking about ideas of how many cases are brought before you of possible violations of the professional teaching standards.
Sure. So the number of cases varies from year to year, obviously. I would say that the commission in recent years probably is receiving, maybe 30 to 40 complaints. Those complaints are investigated by the executive director of the PTBC, who is employed by DEED, initiating the investigation, determines if they're, if the complaint is meets the standard required by statute of limitations to come before the commission, and then proceeds with investigation and bringing in the case. Those cases, when they come before the commission for review, often have been settled through a stipulated agreement that the commission reviews to determine it meets our standards, and we accept the stipulation and then sanctions and consequences are rolled out accordingly. But if they a stipulation can't be reached between the state and the respondent, and ultimately the public hearing can determine whether there's extensions against someone who completes the practice. As far as the cases that actually make it to the commission for those kinds of reviews, we meet three times a year, and in each meeting, I would say that the average group is somewhere between 3 and 15 cases in any given meeting, just depending on how much. I will say that this past year seems to have been a low point in numbers of cases. I would credit that it's on to continuing online learning and with less in-person interaction between educators and students and schools were online. I think that there was less potential opportunity for actions that might rise to the point of a complaint against an educator. I also think that one of the most common complaints we get is the breach of contract complaint where somebody walks off the job mid-year and leaves the school district and students in the lurch. We didn't see as many of those during the last year as we did in the past years. And I think with the pandemic and with all of the college training especially among districts, we're much more willing to release teachers if there was a reason, COVID related or not. And so I think districts can exercise a lot more restraint and grace with educators given the circumstances.
Well, thank you very much for that information.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Williams, this isn't exactly on the topic, but I see that you were testifying before the last legislative task force on civics education in 2016. I don't know if you're aware of this, but we have Senate Bill 72, Senator Williams' bill on putting civics education into the curriculum and standards in Alaska and providing an exam. It's sort of a high school IT exam based entirely on civics, and we're still discussing this bill. I wonder if you had an opportunity to take a look at it, or maybe we should talk to you at a different time regarding this particular item. To me, it sounds like your students are getting a healthy dose of civics education now we have in your classroom.
We had supposed to be in education last year, and I didn't invite a testimony in that. And I can actually send out that testimony to you if you'd like. I haven't looked at it since then to see if there have been amendments offered or any changes have been made, but since you asked, I'll say this. I think that it would be excellent to add a graduation requirement around a government or civics course to the state graduation requirements. I think that it is a major hole in the requirements that is not required for graduation. I don't know that the citizenship exam is the way to check that. Briefly, I'll say that that exam, while I think that it's significant, and I can give it to my students in my government course as a kind of exploration and conversation.
I'm going to come to a lot of work with the Germanic stuff.
I graduated from Maxwell Union, and I want to pursue an engineering graduate for the state with a degree in elementary education with a math endorsement to teach me up through grade 10. I taught nursing program for a couple of years as a student, and then I had a relationship position in high school teaching math and algebra, and then my students philosophy in order at the time was that if they had teachers who were elementary trained in working math time, and they helped those students have a student that they're in math in high school, that they would have a better opportunity to be successful. So I did that for a year until the blood measure was in pass and then I went back to certificate teaching. I was able to stay home with my children, and then I feel very fortunate that I have a business to do that. I went back to teaching when my family moved to Montana. I taught there for 12 years, I believe. My first 2 years, I taught in a higher ed colony of subjects from Montana, Ireland, and all that down in the top. And a community of people where English is their second language, and they're not going to be their subsequent college, so it's doing well. So that was a really nice experience. I put top points in order to read the all subjects. And then I was transferred to a middle school where I got a lot of these ones. In Montana, they called it a rural school. I would call it a small agricultural school because the definition of rural in Montana in Alaska is quite a bit different. I taught there for a long time. I was able to, well, obviously, I got to teach a variety of subjects in 2 years. It's my favorite, I hope so. But in any small school, you were able to relax. I did my practicum there when I was getting my master's of education, pretty much at the same university in education. And I think while I was there, when those duties came to me, they never really left. Once I graduated, I was out of my practicum, so I had a leadership role when I was there. I was able to start an after-school program. I came from Central and North Carolina, and I was back for the last few years I was at that school, which really appreciate different actual opportunities for students. I came to the department in 2012, and I have been working there since. I have multiple roles where I've been there. So I have been a program manager for Title I. I've done school improvement. I've been an assessments administrator. I've been a CTA administrator. And now I oversee current technical education, special education, really. I should probably tell you education at the department. During the time that I've been working or participating with the professional teachers and practice systems, the one thing that I've noticed that I really appreciate is the proactive nature of what building that I've been doing with educators, post-certified educators, and teachers in general. It's her professional development ahead of time, going over the standards, talking about what professional teaching does, and just helping teachers understand the implications of what their role in a child's life, and letting them, educating them what is the best way to go about things. And one is the most good example he gives, really the examples of how he works with his folks. Taking very seriously what I want that commission is, as a member of that commission, and I'm current department assistant, students are the foremost importance. I mean, that may not be the reason that we're there. And our PTPC is a way to help ensure that education is what it needs to be, that children are safe, that everybody at the sets of standard for what education needs to be doing in the state. I also work with Sandra Ward, and she takes space in the school working with the standards for educators, so we have those standards to go by. And so, I just want to put a classy amount of money and our efforts to help educate. And as we work through the complaints and the decisions that have been made, it's getting very seriously again because these are people's lives. We need to make sure that the process is as clear and complete, so that we can get all of the information and are able to make a decision, because it's all about not only children, but it's going to affect a lot of educators who are about to complete that against them. So, go ahead. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you.
for that. Do you have any questions? I have no. Thank you, Mr. Lyon. How you do see the commitment to students in general, and any wonderful to put ourselves to the voice that's always available for us when we have questions of the department in our legislative work. You said something that caught my ear. You said you had to go back to substitute teaching in a district where the bond measure didn't pass. Where was that? And my second question is, as a former school board member, you know, historian, we're probably going a long time on our respective school boards. Is this a district that puts bond issues before the voters for their operating costs?
So, through the chair, this was in San Martin, and I was substituting when I just graduated from high school. We have moved from my two lots of letters from Sammy. I was hired because I had an influx of students, and I anticipated the students teaching me that under one of our measures failed, that I didn't have that position with me. So, I went back to substitute teaching.
So the bond measure was for operating costs, not construction or repair of schools. The legislative care of Alaska in some districts. That's absolutely fascinating because that's not the way we do operating costs here, as you know. So it just caught my eye here, and I'm glad you have that experience. It sounded like it was pretty negative in that you weren't able to continue in the position. But I just was to show you those different ways to fund tools and some of that work and some of the work. And let's see, and you have been, you were taking this down when I went from the position.
I'm the chair of the Michigan in August.
Okay, so you've been here for about six or eight months. Okay, great. Thank you so much. Our parks.
Thank you. Thank you. Sorry. I see the dichotomy. There's professional standards and there's cultural standards, and they don't always align, I suppose, is the right word. And you mentioned a culture really that we're not familiar with. The honest thing, the good thing that we're not at. But how do we, or not, yeah, I guess, how do we, I'm just really testing to do the value balance, the economy from the gap of the professionals more than broader term, broad group of people, which is comfort. Sometimes there's conflicts, how do we balance that?
That's a really good question. In some of the work that I do in the department, we do work on creating state plans and work on standards development. And it's really vital that we include all of the stakeholders. And so, in order to make sure that everything we do is balanced and correct and representative of all the populations in the state, the cultural aspect, we also have to make sure that we are including people who have different perspectives on the standards for the projects that we are participating in. So, for instance, when we wrote the American Rescue Plan for the U.S. Department of Education, we had to do it, and we had to do stakeholders, and so we had to reach out to the federal organizations, we had to reach out to, the foster system, foster care system. We had to reach out to Cornfield, and without all of those voices in the process, I don't feel that we were making a direct attempt to be represented in our entire population.
Okay, so that means it's more, you have to include everyone. The standard can't be the standard. Lowest common denominator, and it can't be so high that someone or that two people may attain the standard. Maybe that completes the whole discussion that we just need to talk about more and include more people. Thank you for the time that you spent on this.
Thank you.
we have Pam Burney of Palmer, who has been appointed to the Professional Teaching Practices Commission.
Thank you, for chance to write to get down on this. Yeah, I understand. I am the mental person.
And
national standards, right? But maybe what is culturally acceptable versus professional standards. Has that gone up?
Responsibility community out of the building this year, handled as officially as director, essentially on the school. It's not a brick and mortar school. There's a program director for the Coral Springs, whole flash program there by KFD. You have the correct principal credentials to sit in that principal position correctly for that year. Resume looks like you do, and you have the certificates, but I just want to double check you have all the necessary principal credentials to sit in that seat.
Yeah,
you
can have a
recommendations go regarding housing for teachers, and I've been in this legislature since 2013, And I've been aware of you for the past several years, but certainly not from year one, from my first year here. And I know we have some serious issues, but what did your reporting consist of and to whom in that time as a member of the IT?
As part of an instructional IT, the rule was that you look at the aspects of teacher housing and that type of thing. That was a personal observation in that arena. What we were looking at is the education that's being implemented in that particular school, what it means or not meaning, what the state requires. So we'll report back to the state. We have to say, we'll report back to the State Department of Education and Early Development. But in there, we have a select set of criteria that we were to review using specific indicators, documents, and evidence that had to be provided, and then our final rating was either they met the requirements or they did not meet the requirements.
So you never gave any of your personal observations on the conditions in teacher housing to anyone at the department?
Personal observations were not allowed to be put into those reports. At that time, I knew some people in the Department of Ed, and I was part of multiple conversation groups around our state, and so that is only something that I share when I have conversation with people that are in positions of influence.
Thank you. Thank you. Any questions? I think their role is principal on the Professional Teaching Practice Commission, and when you're looking at standards for teachers, what role is principal do you believe teachers should be doing to make school education work, school education work, be more inclusive for our diverse student body?
I think there's a few key things that come into play. Anytime you look at, and I'm going to speak a little bit in reference to what I saw that close to the school in Anchorage, and that is, oftentimes, when you're in a diverse population school like Clark Middle School, it's imperative that you as a teacher take time to greet and meet kids and get to know them and learn how they're at and meet them where they're at. If you can meet them where they're at, have a good understanding, and begin to develop that dialogue, you will get information from students that is vital to keep them engaged and to help them increase their performance as students.
Well, thank you for that. Do you have any other questions? All right, Cox.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Are you going to write a book and help keep the lid on the lid and your student body increases by 400% this year?
That's correct. Thank you for that. I have been approached by multiple people to write a book, not only on that, but about lifetime and rural welfare as well. But there are some stories that are absolutely fantastic, and some that will get captured or sitting right on the table.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to it.
That's fantastic. Thank you, Monica. I was going to go through your experience throughout various parts of Alaska, including various small communities, often that are largely Alaska Native populations. Can you talk about how that has shaped your perspective and worldview and the way that you approach your community classroom?
Was very fortunate that I grew up here in Alaska in a couple of reservations, and we have tables also bilingual teachers. So my background and knowledge in how to interact with other community and Alaska Native people is very different than most, in that I understand the culture of my aspect of Central Gatherer. I understand the respect that is always to be shown to elders, and that it's very, very important to teach language through tradition, and that it's important to teach. So any concept that you're teaching can be tied to culture, and so it's very important to make sure that when you step back and look at the classroom that you're
See anyone in the room who wishes to testify?
for public testimony. Anybody have any further questions or comments? Again, I just have to remind all the appointees to say that they have their own class and to have education at AWH.gov. And we're going to enjoy the motion.
Yes, Madam Chair. The House Education Committee has reviewed the qualifications of the governor's appointee to the University of Alaska Board of Regents and recommends that the sponsor should be honored for determination by the comment section before the committee. The House Education Committee has further reviewed the qualifications of the governor's appointees to the Professional Teaching Practices Commission and recommends the honorable person, Guy Reed, Lynn Lewis, Deborah Hill, and Kim Murphy should be forwarded for consideration by a joint session of the legislature. This does not reflect intent by any of the members to vote for or against any of these individuals during any further session for the purposes of confirmation.
Well, thank you, Paul Chair Dorman. I'm going to do a bigger workaround as we do our last order of business today. But I did want to make a comment if anyone does wish to email testimony and on the appointees, please do that at House on Education at AKLights.gov. Hopefully, the person online will find a way to get their comments to us. And then we'll make up all our offices if they need that email address. Our next order of business is House Bill 173, School Climate and Connectedness, sponsored by Rep. Carr. We first read this bill on May 7th, 2021, and then again on March 7th, 2022, when we adopted the committee substitute before us. An amendment deadline was set for last Wednesday, March 9th. No amendments were submitted. I would like to ask staff for Rep. Carr to come forward and offer any closing remarks.
For the record, David Solms, Dan Brooklyn, Stoner. In closing comments, just this legislation was worked in collaborative group teachers across the state for many years. In conjunction with those practitioners, I ask for your support.
Thank you. Any questions?
Madam Co-Chair, I move to report committee substitute for House Bill 173, version 32-LS0727-G, out of committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
Any objection? There being no objection, committee substitute for House Bill 173, version 32-LS0727-G, is reported out of committee. Individual recommendations and that copy of Facebook notes. So, let's see, we'll take a brief of these, we'll never sign their meeting reports, and then come back on and finish our business for the day. So we can fill a bit more out of the so we have finished the meeting for the day. Now, the engagement meeting will next convene on the morning of Wednesday, March 21st, and have the opportunity to meet with school board members who are from across the state. We will just open up the meeting room and share anything that they'd like to with the committee. And again, if you can answer any questions that you have, it's a good opportunity to have some dialogue with programs who are overseeing all the important things that happen in the district every day. So, for the business before the committee, this meeting is adjourned at 9:45 a.m.